Welcome back to another episode of the Ascension Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Cannon. I'm also the owner and operator of Ascension Sports Consulting. I'm also the director of basketball operations at Rise Indoor Sports, the best multi-court facility in the state of North Carolina. It's been a while. I've been on hiatus for a little bit, but I'm back, and there's so much to catch up on, so many things to talk about, topics that I've seen or been inspired to talk about since watching youth basketball here at Rise Indoor Sports throughout this fall and winter. But just to get caught up just a little bit, looking at some of my Ascension Sports guys, Ricky Council is off to a great start at Arkansas. The talented freshman Nick Smith has been out with a knee injury, so Ricky has actually been able to play some point guard, which has been pretty cool to see him make that transformation on the go and seeing how productive he is in that role. Last night, they just played Louisville. They rolled Louisville out in Hawaii. This is without Nick Smith, and Brazil didn't even score, I don't think, last night. They still won by 20 or 30 points. On the flip side of that, I got L. Ellis at Louisville putting up big numbers. But, you know, it's Kenny Payne's first start. First year, it's going a little rough. They're 0-4 for the first time in a very long time. To me, they've taken a couple of bad losses. This doesn't look like there's much continuity on the team. Brandon Huntley Hatfield is another Ascension kid. He's there as well. And then we have ties to Jalen Withers as well. So I hope those guys can turn it around up there in Louisville, get locked in, and find a way to be more efficient. They had a ton of turnovers last night. I think it was like 22 or 23 turnovers. I don't care who you're playing. If you got that many turnovers, you're probably not going to win those games. So watching those guys, Joey Baker settling into his new role at Michigan. I think he's playing somewhere between 16 and 18 minutes a game in his new and last stop in college basketball. Still shooting over 40% from three. So he's doing his thing. Proud of him to kind of see him get a chance to do a little more than what he was doing at Duke. A little more opportunity, so hopefully that continues throughout the season. You know, just watching those guys, seeing another year of college basketball, I think the biggest difference that we're seeing is the impact of NIL on these rosters. The rosters got way older real quick. There's a lot of 22, 23, some 24-year-olds still playing. Which is a drastic difference than previously, where you had a lot of one-and-done kids coming in each and every year. So the average rosters were like 18, 19, 20-year-olds. You're starting to see a lot more parity in the game because of this. You're seeing low majors beat some high-major teams. Another group of Ascension kids who went to Asheville, Caleb Burgess, who was a transfer from Hofstra, Nick McMullen, who's a transfer from Murray State, go into UNC Asheville and immediately beat UCF, which would be in the Big 12 next year, playing teams very competitively in their early schedule, which is primarily composed of money games, and they're going to end up taking some wins and money on this road trips that they have right now. So it's been cool to kind of see these guys in these new environments, having media impacts and changed kind of the landscape of college basketball. I think it's going to be a continued trend. I believe mids and low majors can do real damage in the transfer portal. I think it's a little harder for high majors to build their rosters strictly off the transfer portal. Eric Musselle will definitely enter the chat on that discussion. He's done a great job of accumulating talent out of the portal, getting it to mesh and letting it equate to wins. There's not been too many guys that can do that, but he's definitely seemed to have mastered it in the last 2 years. We'll continue to watch Arkansas, but like I said, they got a fine blend of top freshmen, transfers, and then guys that were previously on the roster. So he's got a good mix. So I think that could end up being a team that could definitely contend, definitely for a Final Four type run, as long as there's no injuries. I think looking at Carolina with all the experience that they returned, Brady Manick is dearly missed by them to space the floor for Mondo. But even with that being said, like, they have a lot of young talent as well that will continue to get better as the season goes on. And then once you have it anchored by Davis, Love, Mondo, like, Leakey. Like, that's a lot of returning experience for those guys. So I think a lot of those close games that they'll get into, their experience should get them over the top. And then for Coach Davis to have that kind of familiarity with so many of the kids that's going to play the bulk of the minutes, I think gives him a distinct advantage, especially in the ACC that's proven to be pretty weak this year. It seems like there's not as many top teams as before. Florida State is off to a terrible start. Louisville's off to a terrible start. Pittsburgh is off to a terrible start. So you kind of look Boston College. There's quite a few teams where, based on the early games, it doesn't look like they're going to be in contention. Virginia looks very good. North Carolina looks good. Duke has shows flashes. The team is definitely good, but having that many young guys play this many minutes and significant roles, and they live and die by the three so much, I think they'll lose some games they're not supposed to. But they're definitely talented enough to put some teams away that they probably shouldn't beat as well. Notre Dame has kind of been hit or miss. Georgia Tech, haven't seen enough of them to kind of make a judgment one way or the other. Virginia Tech, kind of the same thing. But it doesn't seem like the ACC is extremely deep. So Carolina should be able to jump out and get off to an early lead as far as in the standings. And then, you know, maybe have one or two tough matchups. But barring injury, to me, I just don't see anybody who can top to bottom compete with them in the ACC. But like I said, basketball is played for a reason. You never know what's going to happen. I think it was South Dakota State beat Tennessee's women last night or something crazy like that. So anything can happen in college basketball, especially with the transfer portal and getting to know these new rosters, new kids, new coaches, kind of seeing how everything meshes. Another Ascension kids that have taking America by storm were Hendon Hooker, quarterback at Tennessee, and Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver at Tennessee. Both of those guys were Team Felton kids for me, and my Team Felton kids are honorary Ascension Sports kids. So when you see me refer to them as Ascension Sports, they're also Team Felton family as well. Watching those guys and what they've been able to do this year is extremely special. Hendon went down with an injury the other night, torn ACL on a non-contact play. Super frustrating to watch for him. But the one thing I think, and it kind of leads me into the topic, or the main topic that I have for the podcast today, the main thing for Hendon that I've sent to him and wanted to reiterate to him over and over again is, it's easy to live in those what ifs and the why me's and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day in life, the older and older I get, you start to realize that you have to appreciate what's happening and what could happen. And to kind of put that in perspective is the frustrating part for a kid like Hendon is, what if, you know, I kept playing, we go to the next game, bowl game, whatever the case may be, you know, we could win it, I could put these stats up, my draft stock could go higher. Like, you start thinking about all of these what ifs. But if you concentrate on what really is and what's happened, you play a tremendous season. When people talk about Tennessee football, they're going to bring up you and Peyton Manning. That's an unbelievable feat by all means. You can't let one variable, which is an injury or a loss, negate the fact that you put together one of the best college seasons in history of your school or your program. You beat Alabama and Georgia same season. You're a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. You're a finalist for every other QB award that's out there. You did it with integrity. You took advantage of the NIL opportunities. There's another kid out there that's torn his ACL or had some type of significant injury that was a backup, never got their shot to play. There's another kid that wanted to play quarterback but got switched to wide receiver, never got his opportunity. Those guys have a reason to gripe. And not saying Hendon don't have a reason to gripe, but a lot of times I think in general, not just Hendon, all of us, coaches, directors, players, We get caught up in the what if so much that we don't enjoy the experience that we just had or that we experienced in, you know, recent times. So, you know, I'm using Hendon right now because obviously his story will resonate because it's current. You go from a situation in Virginia Tech where they clearly didn't believe in you as a quarterback, didn't think you were the guy, and reminded you that repeatedly. So your draft ambitions then were lower because you're like, man, I'm not even playing. I'm not playing in a pro style offense. Like, I'm just, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. You transfer to Tennessee. The coach gets fired. So you're committed to a school with no college coach. Coach Heupel gets the job. It's an instant click. He believes in you. And it's off and running from there, right? None of this stuff is expected. So we have to learn to take good and bad together, but don't allow the bad to outweigh one bad to outweigh all the good that you accomplished. Great college career, bachelor's degree from Virginia Tech, master's degree from Tennessee. You're still going to be an NFL player. You had the time of your life for this last season. Like, even if there was a situation where you never played football again, like, there's people that would kill for the experiences that you got and received this year. The love, the adulation, the impact that you were able to have on college football this year, to have it documented on what type of person that you are. And I think that stuff is the more valuable lessons learned. And I think he's been a beacon of his faith, which I think is a big, you know, that's a big deal. It's not easy for guys to, well, athletes, to promote their faith and as frequently as he does or as outspoken he is about it, and still be seen as cool, still be seen and respected as a football player or athlete. He never compromised himself and still, you know, got to the end goal. So just don't allow variables to dictate how you feel about yourself in the current moment. Those variables don't matter, because at the end of the day, coaches, those wins and losses, at the end of the day, nobody cares. They don't. At some point in time, you're going to win a lot of games. At some point in time, you're going to lose a lot of games. The one consistent thing is, can you look yourself in the mirror and say, man, I enjoyed it? Did I progress? Did I maximize out? You know, did I maximize my opportunities? And if you did that, that's the trophy. The trophy is the experience in itself. It's not the trophy. You can go buy a trophy from any trophy shop that says NCAA Final Four. Is it a real thing? No, but to certain people that come to your house and see it, they don't know the difference. But the trophy in itself is the experience. When you can show pictures that I played here, I coached this kid, I had these experiences, that's what separates one another, you know, each one of us from each other. There's a million basketball coaches on the planet. There's a million football coaches on the planet, a million quarterbacks, wide receivers. But everybody's experience is different, even though they got the same title. Do you enjoy your title? And once you get out of that place, you're going to be able to operate in a place of peace that is hard to come by when you're chasing wins, losses, trophies, money, fame, clout, likes. Those are variables that do not matter. Society will try to make you think it matters. They don't matter. Can you use some of those things to your advantage? Yes. But to shape your, how you feel about your current situation or your life or how proud you should be, that's the mistake that many of us make. And it's easy to get caught up in it. And I see it as early as 8, 9, 10 and under basketball games. Coaches are ready to fight over the outcome of a 9, 10 and under game. Whereas you should be celebrating the fact that I got kids that are passionate enough about basketball to, at 8, 9, 10 years old, to come in the gym, stay all day, hear me yell at them, develop, and push towards their dreams that early. Like, that's the win. That's the experience. But getting caught up in those variables that don't matter. Nobody cares who wins that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and under basketball. They don't care. Nobody cares. The ones who do are missing the bigger picture. Is your kid developing? Did your kid do better in the first, second game than he did in the first game? The actual score does not matter. I've never had a college coach say, hey, man, did y'all beat Fred All-Stars last week? They don't care. They don't. All they want to know is, can your son play or not? Is your son difficult to coach? Are his parents difficult to be around? And the answer to that is yes, if you concentrate on those variables that don't matter. So parents, when you come in these tournaments, or before you go in there and have a coach's meeting, think about the experience that your child is having. Think about the experience that you are having. If it meets those expectations, if you enjoy going to watch your son or daughter play, regardless of the outcome, is she in a good environment? Is she being taught? Is he being instructed? Is he being corrected? If he is, you're getting your money's worth. Enjoy the experience. You're going to pay $9 for those chicken sandwiches. You're going to pay for parking. You're going to pay for admissions. Like, all that's going to come with it. Those variables are going to happen regardless. And you're going to hate it. But you can't let that ruin the whole day or the whole weekend, because the experience is, I'm watching my son or daughter compete in a basketball tournament or volleyball or any of whatever sport it is for the weekend, and you're seeing them grow as people and athletes. Concentrate on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't worry about NIL when you're in eighth grade. Don't worry about agents and draft prospects and all, like, none of it matters. Those variables get a lot of people in trouble. It gets people to make very stupid decisions. And then you call someone like myself for services with Ascension Sports. Ascension Sports isn't a lifeline. Before you go make those stupid decisions, call me beforehand. Hey, we're thinking about doing this, and I can tell you that it's a stupid plan that you got in place. Don't call me afterwards, because after you make the stupid decision, people just view you as stupid. And those opportunities you had before are no longer going to be there. And I can't attach my name to that or my company. I take the integrity of my name, my company, and my guidance very seriously. Don't mess up your experiences for variables that don't matter. If your son, daughter is happy when they walk on and off that court, get in the car and they're happy, they feel like they're proud of themselves, or they feel like that weekend of basketball was good for them, let them have that. Don't take that away from them. It's not about you at all. Your son or daughter's performance on the court does not reflect what type of parent you are, what kind of basketball trainer you are, what type of coach you are. Stop taking it personal when your son or daughter doesn't perform to the expectations that you have for them. Let them create their own expectations. And if they don't meet or exceed what you think they should be, then that's a reasonable conversation to have, but it's not one to have screaming across the court at the bench, or snatching your son up off the bench, or daughter off the bench, or taking their jersey out, going to another team. That doesn't solve problems. And I can tell you, for someone who's been in my position as a high-level grassroots guy, there's nothing frowned upon more than a quitter. If you are, I'm a get mad and take my ball home type parent or family, you're not gonna last long. Because once that word gets around, nobody's dealing with it. And 9 times out of 10, your kid is not good enough to have that type of pull. So you're going to be in the 5th, 6th, 7th grade with nowhere else to play. Because you're a quitter. You're a whiner. It's supposed to be tough. You're going to get your butts kicked sometimes. You're going to kick butts sometimes. That's what youth basketball is. But as a parent, you have to sit down and watch your kid develop. If you can't sit down and watch a kid develop, then they're not going to make it anyway. And it's on you. It's a direct correlation to parents who trust the process for their kids. And I know that's thrown around a lot, but trusting the process is a real thing. And trusting the process is one word, is faith. You have faith in God that He placed you in the right, you know, situation, position for your kid to succeed. And you showing faith that your kid's work right now at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old is going to lead to him being productive in middle school, productive in high school. And if he's really gets a good mixture of the God-given plus the work ethic, you may get a chance to extend your career to college. But there's no guarantee, so enjoy these moments. Don't waste your time on variables and then, you know, lo and behold, your son gets sick, daughter gets sick, you get laid off. COVID happens. And that sport is taken away from you, and all that time that you wasted being mad at the scores table, the referee, the $9 chicken sandwiches. You would wish to have those opportunities back again to be in front of those referees, that scores table, and eating those $9 chicken sandwiches. Because it can be taken away from you. Don't let your life get consumed with these variables. And I can't stress this enough because I see it every single weekend, no matter what the sport is. And no disrespect to the parents. You don't know. A lot of you don't know what you're talking about. You're yelling at your kids about pointless stuff. You know, they know they messed up. They don't need you to scream at them about missing the layup. Like, they know they missed the layup. Like, you just adding to it. Like, you beating the man while he's down. Like, that's not what that's about. So, if you can't control those things, like I said, I'm just, you know, from my experiences and seeing this for a long time, those usually aren't the kids that make it. So you can have these high expectations, but if you're a parent that can control their own emotions, your son or daughter's gonna lose love for the game so quick that you're not even gonna know if what you're teaching them or trying to instill in them is gonna work, because they're not gonna make it. They're gonna end up hating the sport, and a lot of times they end up hating you because of the sport. When in actuality, it should be something that's a shared experience that everybody in the house loves. Keep it the main thing. Don't try to be super smart about something you have no clue about. Twitter is not a good learning tool for recruiting spaces. how to navigate grassroots basketball, high school, or to say a coach can't coach, players can't play. Like, there's so much negativity around. My son didn't perform well, so this other kid ain't that good, and his parents are this, and such is crazy. No, just worry about yours. But you do, you know, that's what you do in your house. There's no need to bring up that other kid, the other parent. That's a reflection of you. Not the kid, not vice versa. The kid's not like, what they do on the court, that's a reflection of the work they put in. They might need more work. Or they might need to work with somebody other than you as a parent. But when mom and dad is crazy in the crowd, it doesn't help. Don't let the variables dictate whether or not you see yourself as a success or failure. Don't put those variables on top of your kids either. There's a lot of kids that play on teams, they may not get the opportunity to play 30 minutes a game like some of the kids, but their experience is their experience. They enjoy being around their teammates, they're competing. Whatever role that they're given, they enjoy and thrive in their role. Let them enjoy that. Don't make them feel less than because they're not playing 30 minutes a game. That 18 minutes is important too. Them being the lockdown defender is important too. Being the shooter is an important role too. But sometimes it's not enough for some of you parents. You want them to be the shooter, the defender, the ball handler, the scorer, the coach, the GM. It doesn't work that way. Save yourself some stress. Allow your kids to enjoy, you know, becoming the best athlete they can be in whatever their respective sports are. And stop putting these fake variables on them to make them feel like this is going to determine whether or not they're a success or not. Your kids are a success just for taking the opportunity to try and compete. They're pursuing something that 1 to 3% of the people in the world get to experience, which is a college scholarship. That's already hard enough. They don't need mom and dad in the car screaming at them about the missed layup when they already know they missed it. Take them to the gym and show them why they missed it. Help them fix it. Or take them to somebody who can. Yelling ain't never fixed the layup. I promise you they didn't want to miss it. They didn't want to miss them shots. But it's a whole lot harder to hit those shots when you got the opposing team yelling at you and mom and dad yelling at you. There has to be a source of refuge for these kids. Once a kid feels like he can just go play or she can go play and play free, I promise you the production looks much better. And I started this podcast to kind of be a voice of reason for all avenues in the sport, like all platforms. Because now I've been blessed to see it from a wide angle lens, because I've been the director of a program. I've been a high school, middle school coach, AAU coach. I'm at a facility now. I see what that looks like. I see what referees have to go through, get the behind the scenes with them. So every facet of the game requires somebody to tell them that they're doing a good job. Will referees miss calls at AAU games? Absolutely. Absolutely. You want them to call the games with the same proficiency as the referees at the Duke Carolina game. But guess what? Them referees at the Duke Carolina game do just one game. They got one game to perform and they got to lock in for that one game. We're asking these men and women to come in here for $20, $25 a game, something like that, and stay from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. all day and not make a mistake. When the people who are yelling couldn't run from the bathroom to the bleachers more than twice without getting tired themselves. And you're asking them to perform under duress because every game somebody cheating, call it both ways, that's a travel, that's a foul, y'all suck, y'all this. I'm gonna tell you now, if the referees decided they didn't want to do it anymore, there wouldn't be no AAU. If the scorekeepers decide, I don't want to do this for $10 a game no more, there's no AAU. Be thankful that your son or daughter have the opportunity to do it and somebody else is willing to take that abuse for your kids to participate in these events. Again, you got to take a look at the variables. Did they miss a call? Sure. But are you willing to go out here and run up and down this floor for the abuse and make sure that your kid has the opportunity to showcase their skills in front of a college coach? That's the positive out of it. If that lady you yelling at on the floor didn't do what she was doing, you might have not had no game that day. Nobody's lost a scholarship over a referee. I guarantee you that. And if you really go back and watch the games, I guarantee that whatever that call is that you thought was so bad, it didn't cost y'all to lose that game. You probably got a crazy number of turnovers, crazy number of missed free throws, bad defensive rotations, got out-rebounded. But you want to blame that one play by the referee as to why your team lost. That's not how the game works. You play hard enough, play efficient enough, execute enough, your team will win the game. It's that simple. When we come back from the break, we'll jump into a couple of more topics. I want to pick you all's brains, but definitely stay in tune and glad to be back glad to be dropping wisdom on you guys. Once again, I will definitely be more frequent, but we'll talk about more things to come right after the break. Welcome back to another episode of the Ascension Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Cannon. I'm also the owner and operator of Ascension Sports Consulting. I'm also the director of basketball operations at Rise Indoor Sports, the best multi-court facility in the state of North Carolina. It's been a while. I've been on hiatus for a little bit, but I'm back, and there's so much to catch up on, so many things to talk about, topics that I've seen or been inspired to talk about since watching youth basketball here at Rise Indoor Sports throughout this fall and winter. But just to get caught up just a little bit, looking at some of my Ascension Sports guys, Ricky Council is off to a great start at Arkansas. The talented freshman Nick Smith has been out with a knee injury, so Ricky has actually been able to play some point guard, which has been pretty cool to see him make that transformation on the go and seeing how productive he is in that role. Last night, they just played Louisville. They rolled Louisville out in Hawaii. This is without Nick Smith, and Brazil didn't even score, I don't think, last night. They still won by 20 or 30 points. On the flip side of that, I got L. Ellis at Louisville putting up big numbers. But, you know, this Kenny Payne's first start, first year, it's going a little rough. They're 0-4 for the first time in a very long time. To me, they've taken a couple of bad losses. This doesn't look like there's much continuity on the team. Brandon Huntley Hatfield is another Ascension kid. He's there as well. And then we have ties to Jalen Withers as well. So I hope those guys can turn it around up there in Louisville, get locked in, and find a way to be more efficient. They had a ton of turnovers last night. I think it was like 22 or 23 turnovers. I don't care who you're playing. If you got that many turnovers, you're probably not going to win those games. So watching those guys, Joey Baker settling into his new role at Michigan. I think he's playing somewhere between 16, 18 minutes a game in his new and last stop in college basketball. Still shooting over 40% from three. So he's doing his thing. Proud of him to kind of see him get a chance to do a little more than what he was doing at Duke. A little more opportunity. So hopefully that continues throughout the season. You know, just watching those guys, seeing another year of college basketball, I think the biggest difference that we're seeing is the impact of NIL on these rosters. The rosters got way older real quick. There's a lot of 22, 23, some 24-year-olds still playing, which is a drastic difference than previously, where you had a lot of one-and-done kids coming in each and every year. So the average rosters were like 18, 19, 20-year-olds. You're starting to see a lot more parity in the game because of this. You're seeing low majors beat some high major teams. Another group of Ascension kids who went to Asheville, Caleb Burgess, who was a transfer from Hofstra, Nick McMullen, who's a transfer from Murray State, go into UNC Asheville and immediately beat UCF, which would be in the Big 12 next year. Playing the teams very competitively in their early schedule, which is primarily composed of money games, and they're going to end up taking some wins and money on this road trips that they have right now. So it's been cool to kind of see these guys in these new environments having media impacts and changed kind of the landscape of college basketball. I think it's going to be a continued trend. I believe mids and low majors can do real damage in the transfer portal. I think it's a little harder for high majors to build their rosters strictly off the transfer portal. Eric Musselle will definitely enter the chat on that discussion. He's done a great job of accumulating talent out of the portal, getting it to mesh and letting it equate to wins. There's not been too many guys that can do that, but he's definitely seemed to have mastered it in the last 2 years. We'll continue to watch Arkansas, but like I said, they got a fine blend of top freshmen, transfers, and then guys that were previously on the roster. So he's got a good mix. So I think that could end up being a team that could definitely contend, definitely for a Final Four type run, as long as there's no injuries. I think looking at Carolina with all the experience that they returned, Brady Manek is dearly missed by them to space the floor for Mondo. But even with that being said, like, they have a lot of young talent as well that will continue to get better as the season goes on. And then once you have it anchored by Davis, Love, Mondo, like, Leaky, like, that's a lot of returning experience for those guys. So I think a lot of those close games that they'll get into, their experience should get them over the top. And then for Coach Davis to have that kind of familiarity with so many of the kids that's going to play the bulk of the minutes, I think gives him a distinct advantage, especially in the ACC that's proven to be pretty weak this year. It seems like there's not as many top teams as before. Florida State is off to a terrible start. Louisville's off to a terrible start. Pittsburgh is off to a terrible start. So you kind of look Boston College. There's quite a few teams where, based on the early games, it doesn't look like they're going to be in contention. Virginia looks very good. North Carolina looks good. Duke has shows flashes. The team is definitely good, but having that many young guys play this many minutes and significant roles, and they live and die by the three so much, I think they'll lose some games they're not supposed to. But they're definitely talented enough to put some teams away that they probably shouldn't beat as well. Notre Dame has kind of been hit or miss. Georgia Tech, haven't seen enough of them to kind of make a judgment one way or the other. Virginia Tech, kind of the same thing. But it doesn't seem like the ACC is extremely deep. So Carolina should be able to jump out and get off to an early lead as far as in the standings. And then, you know, maybe have one or two tough matchups. But barring injury, to me, I just don't see anybody who can top to bottom compete with them in the ACC. But like I said, basketball is played for a reason. You never know what's going to happen. I think it was South Dakota State beat Tennessee's women last night or something crazy like that. So anything can happen in college basketball, especially with the transfer portal and getting to know these new rosters, new kids, new coaches, kind of seeing how everything meshes. Another Ascension kids that have taken America by storm were Hendon Hooker, quarterback at Tennessee, and Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver at Tennessee. Both of those guys were Team Felton kids for me, and my Team Felton kids are honorary Ascension Sports kids. So when you see me refer to them as Ascension Sports, they're also Team Felton family as well. Watching those guys and what they've been able to do this year is extremely special. Hendon went down with an injury the other night, torn ACL on a non-contact play. Super frustrating to watch for him. But the one thing I think, and it kind of leads me into the topic, or the main topic that I have for the podcast today, the main thing for Hendon that I've sent to him and wanted to reiterate to him over and over again is, it's easy to live in those what ifs and the why me's and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day in life, the older and older I get, you start to realize that you have to appreciate what's happening and what, not what could happen. And to kind of put that in perspective is, the frustrating part for a kid like Hendon is, what if, you know, I kept playing, we go to the next game, bowl game, whatever the case may be, you know, we could win it, I could put these stats up, my draft stock could go higher. Like, you start thinking about all these what ifs. But if you concentrate on what really is and what's happened, you play a tremendous season. When people talk about Tennessee football, they're going to bring up you and Peyton Manning. That's an unbelievable feat by all means. You can't let one variable, which is an injury or a loss, negate the fact that you put together one of the best college seasons in history of your school or your program. You beat Alabama and Georgia, same season. You're a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. You're a finalist for every other QB award that's out there. You did it with integrity. You took advantage of the NIL opportunities. There's another kid out there that's torn his ACL or had some type of significant injury that was a backup, never got their shot to play. There's another kid that wanted to play quarterback but got switched to wide receiver, never got his opportunity. those guys have a reason to gripe. And not saying Hendon don't have a reason to gripe, but a lot of times I think in general, not just Hendon, all of us, coaches, directors, players, we get caught up in the what if so much that we don't enjoy the experience that we just had or that we experienced in, you know, recent times. So, you know, I'm using Hendon right now because obviously his story would resonate because it's current. You go from a situation in Virginia Tech where they clearly didn't believe in you as a quarterback, didn't think you were the guy, and reminded you that repeatedly. So your draft ambitions then were lower because you're like, man, I'm not even playing. I'm not playing in a pro-style offense. Like, I'm just, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. You transfer to Tennessee. The coach gets fired. So you're committed to a school with no college coach. Coach Heupel gets the job. It's an instant click. He believes in you. And it's off and running from there, right? None of this stuff is expected. So we have to learn to take the good and bad together. But don't allow the bad to outweigh, one bad to outweigh all the good that you accomplished. Great college career, bachelor's degree from Virginia Tech, master's degree from Tennessee. You're still going to be an NFL player. You had the time of your life for this last season. Like, even if there was a situation where you never played football again, like, there's people that would kill for the experiences that you got and received this year. The love, the adulation, the, you know, the impact that you were able to have on college football this year, to have it documented on what type of person that you are. And I think that stuff is the more valuable lessons learned. And I think he's been a beacon of his faith, which I think is a big, you know, that's a big deal. It's not easy for guys to, well, athletes, to promote their faith and as frequently as he does or as outspoken he is about it, and still be seen as cool, still be seen and respected as a football player or athlete. He never compromised himself and still, you know, got to the end goal. So just don't allow variables to dictate how you feel about yourself in the current moment. Those variables don't matter, because at the end of the day, coaches, those wins and losses, at the end of the day, nobody cares. They don't. At some point in time, you're going to win a lot of games. At some point in time, you're going to lose a lot of games. The one consistent thing is, can you look yourself in the mirror and say, man, I enjoyed it? Did I progress? Did I maximize out, you know, did I maximize my opportunities? And if you did that, that's the trophy. The trophy is the experience in itself. It's not the trophy. You can go buy a trophy from any trophy shop that says NCAA Final Four. Is it a real thing? No, but to certain people that come to your house and see it, they don't know the difference. But the trophy in itself is the experience. When you can show pictures that I played here, I coached this kid, I had these experiences, that's what separates one another, you know, each one of us from each other. There's a million basketball coaches on the planet. There's a million football coaches on the planet, a million quarterbacks, wide receivers. But everybody's experience is different, even though they got the same title. Do you enjoy your title? And once you get out of that place, you're going to be able to operate in a place of peace that is hard to come by when you're chasing wins, losses, trophies, money, fame, clout, likes. Those are variables that do not matter. Society will try to make you think it matters. They don't matter. Can you use some of those things to your advantage? Yes. But to shape how you feel about your current situation or your life or how proud you should be, that's the mistake that many of us make. And it's easy to get caught up in it. And I see it as early as 8, 9, 10 and under basketball games. Coaches are ready to fight over the outcome of a 9, 10 and under game. Whereas you should be celebrating the fact that I got kids that are passionate enough about basketball to at 8, 9, 10 years old to come in the gym, stay all day, hear me yell at them, develop, and push towards their dreams that early. Like, that's the win. That's the experience. But getting caught up in those variables that don't matter. Nobody cares who wins that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and under basketball. They don't care. Nobody cares. The ones who do are missing the bigger picture. Is your kid developing? Did your kid do better in the first, second game than he did in the first game? The actual score does not matter. I've never had a college coach say, hey, man, did y'all beat Fred All-Stars last week? They don't care. They don't. All they want to know is, can your son play or not? Is your son difficult to coach? Are his parents difficult to be around? And the answer to that is yes, if you concentrate on those variables that don't matter. So parents, when you come in these tournaments, or before you go in there and have a coach's meeting, think about the experience that your child is having. Think about the experience that you are having. If it meets those expectations, if you enjoy going to watch your son or daughter play, regardless of the outcome, is she in a good environment? Is she being taught? Is he being instructed? Is he being corrected? If he is, you're getting your money's worth. Enjoy the experience. You're going to pay $9 for those chicken sandwiches. You're going to pay for parking. You're going to pay for admissions. Like, all that's going to come with it. Those variables are going to happen regardless. And you're going to hate it. But you can't let that ruin the whole day or the whole weekend, because the experience is, I'm watching my son or daughter compete in a basketball tournament or volleyball or any of whatever sport it is for the weekend, and you're seeing them grow as people and athletes. Concentrate on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't worry about NIL when you're in eighth grade. Don't worry about agents and draft prospects and all, like, none of it matters. Those variables get a lot of people in trouble. It gets people to make very stupid decisions, and then you call someone like myself for services with Ascension Sports. Ascension Sports isn't a lifeline. Before you go make those stupid decisions, call me beforehand. Hey, we're thinking about doing this, and I can tell you that it's a stupid plan that you got in place. Don't call me afterwards, because after you make the stupid decision, people just view you as stupid. And those opportunities you had before are no longer going to be there. And I can't attach my name to that or my company. I take the integrity of my name, my company, and my guidance very seriously. Don't mess up your experiences for variables that don't matter. If your son, daughter is happy when they walk on and off that court, get in the car and they're happy, they feel like they're proud of themselves, or they feel like that weekend of basketball was good for them, let them have that. Don't take that away from them. It's not about you at all. Your son or daughter's performance on the court does not reflect what type of parent you are, what kind of basketball trainer you are, what type of coach you are. Stop taking it personal when your son or daughter doesn't perform to the expectations that you have for them. Let them create their own expectations. And if they don't meet or exceed what you think they should be, then that's a reasonable conversation to have, but it's not one to have screaming across the court at the bench, or snatching your son up off the bench, or daughter off the bench, or taking their jersey out, going to another team. That doesn't solve problems. And I can tell you, for someone who's been in my position as a high-level grassroots guy, there's nothing frowned upon more than a quitter. If you are, I'm a get mad and take my ball home type parent or family, you're not gonna last long. Because once that word gets around, nobody's dealing with it. And 9 times out of 10, your kid's not good enough to have that type of pool. So you're going to be in the 5th, 6th, 7th grade with nowhere else to play. Because you're a quitter. You're a whiner. It's supposed to be tough. You're going to get your butts kicked sometimes. You're going to kick butt sometimes. That's what youth basketball is. But as a parent, you have to sit down and watch your kid develop. If you can't sit down and watch your kid develop, then they're not going to make it anyway. And it's on you. It's a direct correlation to parents who trust the process for their kids. And I know that's thrown around a lot, but trusting the process is a real thing. And trusting the process is one word, is faith. You have faith in God that He placed you in the right, you know, situation, position for your kid to succeed. And you showing faith that your kid's work right now at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old is going to lead to him being productive in middle school, productive in high school. And if he's really gets a good mixture of the God-given plus the work ethic, you may get a chance to extend your career to college. But there's no guarantee, so enjoy these moments. Don't waste your time on variables and then, you know, lo and behold, your son gets sick, daughter gets sick, you get laid off. COVID happens. And that sport is taken away from you, and all that time that you wasted being mad at the scores table, the referee, the $9 chicken sandwiches. You would wish to have those opportunities back again to be in front of those referees, that scores table, and eating those $9 chicken sandwiches. Because it can be taken away from you. Don't let your life get consumed with these variables. And I can't stress this enough because I see it every single weekend, no matter what the sport is. And no disrespect to the parents. You don't know. A lot of you don't know what you're talking about. You're yelling at your kids about pointless stuff. You know, they know they messed up. They don't need you to scream at them about missing the layup. Like, they know they missed the layup. Like, you just adding to it. Like, you beating the man while he's down. Like, that's not what that's about. So, if you can't control those things, like I said, I'm just, you know, from my experiences and seeing this for a long time, those usually aren't the kids that make it. So you can have these high expectations, but if you're a parent that can control their own emotions, your son or daughter's gonna lose love for the game so quick that you're not even gonna know if what you're teaching them or trying to instill in them is gonna work, because they're not gonna make it. They're gonna end up hating the sport, and a lot of times they end up hating you because of the sport. When in actuality, it should be something that's a shared experience that everybody in the house loves. Keep it the main thing. Don't try to be super smart about something you had no clue about. Twitter is not a good learning tool for recruiting spaces. how to navigate grassroots basketball, high school, or to say a coach can't coach, players can't play. Like, there's so much negativity around. My son didn't perform well, so this other kid ain't that good, and his parents are this, and such is crazy. No, just worry about yours. But you do, you know, that's what you do in your house. There's no need to bring up that other kid, the other parent. That's a reflection of you. Not the kid, not vice versa. The kid's not like, what they do on the court, that's a reflection of the work they put in. They might need more work. Or they might need to work with somebody other than you as a parent. Mom and dad is crazy in the crowd, it doesn't help. Don't let the variables dictate whether or not you see yourself as a success or failure. Don't put those variables on top of your kids either. There's a lot of kids that play on teams, they may not get the opportunity to play 30 minutes a game like some of the kids, but their experience is their experience. They enjoy being around their teammates, they're competing. Whatever role that they're given, they enjoy and thrive in their role. Let them enjoy that. Don't make them feel less than because they're not playing 30 minutes a game. That 18 minutes is important too. Them being the lockdown defender is important too. being the shooter is an important role too. But sometimes it's not enough for some of you parents. You want them to be the shooter, the defender, the ball handler, the scorer, the coach, the GM. It doesn't work that way. Say you set some stress. Allow your kids to enjoy, you know, becoming the best athlete they can be in whatever their respective sports are. And stop putting these fate variables on them to make them feel like this is going to determine whether or not they're a success or not. Your kids are a success just for taking the opportunity to try and compete. They're pursuing something that 1 to 3% of the people in the world get to experience, which is a college scholarship. That's already hard enough. They don't need mom and dad in the car screaming at them about the missed layup when they already know they missed it. Take them to the gym and show them why they missed it. Help them fix it. Or take them to somebody who can. Yelling ain't never fixed the layup. I promise you they didn't want to miss it. They didn't want to miss them shots. But it's a whole lot harder to hit those shots when you got the opposing team yelling at you and mom and dad yelling at you. There has to be a source of refuge for these kids. Once a kid feels like he can just go play or she can go play and play free, I promise you the production looks much better. And I started this podcast to kind of be a voice of reason for all avenues in the sport, like all platforms. Because now I've been blessed to see it from a wide angle lens, because I've been the director of a program. I've been a high school, middle school coach, AAU coach. I'm at a facility now. I see what that looks like. I see what referees have to go through, get the behind the scenes with them. So every facet of the game requires somebody to tell them that they're doing a good job. Will referees miss calls at AAU games? Absolutely. Absolutely. You want them to call the games with the same proficiency as the referees at the Duke Carolina game. But guess what? Them referees at the Duke Carolina game do just one game. They got one game to perform and they got to lock in for that one game. We're asking these men and women to come in here for $20, $25 a game, something like that, and stay from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. all day and not make a mistake. When the people who are yelling couldn't run from the bathroom to the bleachers more than twice without getting tired themselves. And you're asking them to perform under duress because every game somebody cheating, call it both ways, that's a travel, that's a foul, y'all suck, y'all this. I'm gonna tell you now, if the referees decided they didn't want to do it anymore, there wouldn't be no AAU. If the scorekeepers decide I don't want to do this for $10 a game no more, there's no AAU. Be thankful that your son or daughter have the opportunity to do it and somebody else is willing to take that abuse for your kids to participate in these events. Again, we got to take a look at the variables. Did they miss a call? Sure. But are you willing to go out here and run up and down this floor for that abuse and make sure that your kid has the opportunity to showcase their skills in front of a college coach? That's the positive out of it. If that lady you yelling at on the floor didn't do what she was doing, you might have not had no game that day. Nobody's lost a scholarship over a referee. I guarantee you that. And if you really go back and watch the games, I guarantee that whatever that call is that you thought was so bad, it didn't cost y'all to lose that game. You probably got a crazy number of turnovers, crazy number of missed free throws, bad defensive rotations, got out-rebounded. But you want to blame that one play by the referee as to why your team lost. That's not how the game works. You play hard enough, play efficient enough, execute enough, your team will win the game. It's that simple. When we come back from the break, we'll jump into a couple of more topics. I want to pick you all's brains, but definitely stay in tune and is glad to be back. Glad to be dropping wisdom on you guys. Once again, I will definitely be more frequent, but we'll talk about more things to come right after the break.